This is Vajra Rahasyam, October 27th, discussing this Ashnayam Adarshanan Marmahatam. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that although it says, if I don't see you, Adarshanan Marmahatam, my heart will break. Well, this makes sense from our reference point of this world, mundane loving exchanges. If we don't see our beloved, then our heart breaks. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in the kingdom of joy, in the kingdom of bliss, in the kingdom of love and lila, divine play, Vrindavan, there is no agony. There's no suffering. And if there is what appears to be suffering and crying, it actually produces the greatest happiness and joy. We must always remember that Krishna is a transcendental autocrat. Autocrat means he is independent and free to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and however he wants, with whomever he wants to. This is Krishna. This is a speciality. So we may, as sadhakas, we're trying our best. We may be giving our best to Krishna and find, this is commentary, that our offering is being hatefully dishonored. We may have caught Krishna's lotus feet within our whole heart, and still Krishna may cruelly trample us and not care for all our attempts and affection. This is the meaning of autocrat. Because in the material world we say, hey, I'm loving you, I'm giving you everything I have, can't you understand? My body, my mind, my words, my attention, my affection, my time, everything, my attitude, everything I'm giving you, and you're neglecting me and ignoring me and not speaking to me? All right, carry on, I still love you. This is inconceivable in the material world as we know it. But Radharani is saying, okay, this, you know, hatefully neglect me. You ran away from me. Well, I didn't see you. You ran away and hid yourself for 50 years. And when I saw you after 50 years in Kurukshetra, you were dressed in such a way and surrounded by such association that I didn't even recognize you, barely. You were in Raj Vesh, surrounded by elephants and chariots and trumpets and horns and huge kettle drums and big fanfare and pomp and grandeur and majesty and all the kingly and royal opulence. And I said, who is this? Is this the same boy that we enjoyed with under the Kadamba trees in the bank of the Yamuna? Hardly. Change all this dress and put on your Gopavesh and get into the chariot of our hearts and let us take you back to Vrindavan. This was how they felt. So this is Marmahatam. Adarshanan Marmahatam. Marmahatam means broken heart. Adarshan. He may break my heart by not being present before me. Then when this happens, the devotee thinks, Krishna is ignoring me. He's neglecting me so much, and he doesn't care to keep any connection with me. You can imagine trying so much to please someone, day after day, week after week, year after year, and still, after 10 years or 15 years, Krishna's, or 20 years or 50 years or 10 lifetimes, Krishna's still, like, neglecting you. Krishna's ignoring me. Does anyone ever have that feeling? You ever had that feeling? Well, hang in there. You'll have it for many years. Krishna's ignoring me. Usually we, after 6 months or a year or two, hey, what is this? You know, I surrendered. You know, I'm following the principles for 2 years, man. I haven't gotten high and done any, you know, funny stuff, you know, come on, Krishna, you know, where's the darshan? I mean, at least let me hear your flute. I mean, okay, if I can't have darshan, at least let me hear your flute. Not even the flute? How about a fragrance? I smell your garlands and I smell the oil that was offered to you. Okay, fine, that's nice. It's purifying, it smells good, I like it. But you, I mean your actual fragrance. No, I'm sorry. Come back later. And later. And later. And then you become mad. And then Krishna says, okay, now you're mad, very good. Now become madder still. Acha, now you become madder still. Now become absolutely mad. Pagal. Rasik Pagal. Alright, maybe I'll let you hear a little bit of flute. What was that? Did you hear that? No, what? No, did you hear that? Listen. No, I didn't hear. It's Krishna's flute. You're crazy. There's some CD in the market, you know? There's some CD playing in the market. There's some guy sitting on the banks of Radhakund playing the flute. Hey, that, you, come on. You're hearing Krishna's flute. He's there, you're here. What is this? But it happens. He doesn't care to keep any connection with me. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying earlier. He's saying, listen, you know, I'm your kinkar, I'm your servant. Aren't you supposed to, isn't a master supposed to keep some connection with a servant? Like at least once a month, give him a paycheck or monitor his seva or something? I mean, I inanda tanuja kinkaram. I'm your kinkar, your kinkari. Your servant, your gopi, and I don't see you keeping any connection, so I'm saying, stita duli satrisham vichintaya, stita duli, keep me as a particle of dust at least, come on, you're my master, at least keep me as a particle of dust at your feet. Okay, don't embrace me like your wife, don't shake hands like your brother or friend. Don't share your meals with me. Don't, but at least you can keep me at your feet. There's so many other dust particles there that don't even ask for a place. You simply walk on the ground and you pick up a few, isn't it? And you go on Parikrama, you pick up a few dust particles. They don't ask and you still pick them up. I'm asking. When Krishna might say no, I don't care to have any connection with a particle of dust like you. And then what to do? Or, that's the adarshanam aspect. Not giving darshan. Adarshanam, marmahatam. Because we think we're pretty together people. And we think our hearts are pretty together. Oh, I'm peaceful, I'm okay. I'm okay, you're okay. But Krishna is not very impressed. First he wants to see that heart we have becomes totally broken. So one side is, okay, and that's what Radharani is saying, alright, you may break my heart. That's what Krishna does, he breaks hearts. When you become a devotee, when you surrender, come out of the material world and become a devotee, Krishna will break our heart. When we first join, actually, it's a very interesting phenomenon. Everywhere around the world, when a devotee first joins Krishna consciousness, he feels happy. Otherwise, why does he join? Why is he moving to a temple, or let's say he doesn't move into a temple, why does he spend a fair amount of time with devotees in a temple, or on a yatra, or in a class? Because it gives him some happiness, some satisfaction, some enlightenment, some fulfillment, some encouragement, some hope in life, solves some riddles, answers some questions, fills in the puzzles. It's a good thing. And he becomes so encouraged and about the whole experience of that sangha that he decides to become full-time and surrender, and with quote-unquote surrender. And then he maybe moves into the temple or takes full part in the process of Krishna consciousness. And he's happy. And it's Kevalananda Kanda. Paramakuruna Pahandui Janina Thai Gora Chandra. So he's dancing in the kirtans, he's in the Rathyatra, Chakachak Bhog, Mahaprasad, festivals, Janmasmi, Radhastami, Govardhan Puja, Anukut Festival, and It's all wonderful and cultural and colorful and bountiful and delightful and exciting and enlightening, joyful. But meanwhile, on another side of the fence, although your heart has become full and happy, there are a whole bunch of people that are connected to you that their hearts have become broken. By you becoming a devotee, you've broken the hearts of a lot of people, the expectations, etc. So many people, their hearts break when we become a devotee. That's what happens. And then our hearts are in good shape. And then we realize, wait a minute, just to be complacent, to be happy in Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Actually, as you progress in Krishna bhakti and become more attached to Krishna, more aware, you find out that chanting Hare Krishna makes you miserable. Chant Hare Krishna, be miserable, huh? We won't sell many copies that way. You won't sell many mantra cards. Pass out these cards. Search. Chant Hare Krishna, be miserable. I already am miserable without chanting. Why should I waste time chanting if I'm already miserable without chanting? So, in other words, we join, we're happy, and so many people's hearts break. Oh, why did you be Hare Krishna? You don't love me, this, that, blah, 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 and all these things. And we don't care. And then, so Krishna, first Krishna breaks, marmahata means break the heart. Marmahata means break the heart. Why? Because we're not seeing him. So first he breaks the hearts of all our relatives. Why? Because they don't see us. Krishna takes us away from all our relative programs and all our relative friends, and he engages us in absolute programs with absolute friends. So you can have your relativities or your absolutes. So we have relativity means material, birth and death, beginning and end. That's relative. One thing's related to another. But in Krishna consciousness, and all these relative programs, eating, mating, sleeping, defending, graduations, weddings, marriages, hospitalization, death, birth, anniversary, holy, this, that, well, not holy, that's kind of spiritual, but Diwali is just some social function. All these social functions and social interchanges are all relative programs. And devotees, they don't even waste time with all these things. They leave that. So when we don't give our darshan to our relativities or our relatives, then their hearts break. So I guess that's what happens. If you break many people's hearts, then your heart will have to break. So that's a fact. A devotee will have to break his heart or have his heart broken if he wants to receive Krishna. So in the beginning you chant Hare Krishna, you're happy and everybody else is unhappy. And as you keep going, you chant Hare Krishna and you're miserable. And your heart starts breaking and separation and anxiety. And Krishna says, very good. My business is to break hearts. Break devotees' hearts and to break the non-devotees' hearts. This is interesting. Or Krishna may embrace another one right before our eyes. Can you imagine how crippling that would be? How debilitating and crippling and shattering it would be if you had a lover you loved intensely, completely and absolutely. You had complete mamata, feelings of possession and surrender and service with that beloved. And then that very person comes in front of you, say a woman if you're a man, comes in front of you and looks at you like this, and she turns around and she embraces some other man right in front of you. That would be devastating. Crack your heart in a million pieces. So Radharani's saying this. This adarshanan marmahatam karotuva ashlishiva parotam panashtamam. Saying, all right, Krishna, you don't... Because that's another way of not giving darshan. Okay, you don't show me yourself, Krishna. You don't come to me. But you come in front of me. Instead of showing me yourself, you show yourself embracing another gopi or vipakshasakhi right in front of me. That's definitely a cause of marmahatam, breaking the heart. Divine love means mercy. There is no justice. Like some people, it's not fair. Like husbands say to wives or wives say to husbands, it's not fair. You hear this expression, it's not fair. It's not justice. But in divinity or love divine, That's why they say that Krishna is an autocrat. It's his leela, it's his play. And he plays like he wants. And we're the players, and the devotees are the players. Divine love is free and may flow anywhere and everywhere. We want to connect ourselves with Braja Leela of Krishna, so therefore we can make no conditions. There should be no complaint from our side. We must fully accept the ways of the Lord. Krishna may accept us or reject us. We have to take that risk. Only then can we make progress. So, what Radharani is saying here, all risk, and there's a possibility of all risk and no gain. We risk everything. We leave everything. We risk it. We leave our careers. We're in college. We don't finish. We don't get our degree, our qualification. We just drop out. It's risky. In the future, we'll get no job, no employment, no money. Anyway, we've been captivated by Krishna. We've been enchanted, so forget it. So it's a risk. We jump off. And maybe we don't get Krishna. And then it's all for naught. That's the risk we take. But one Acharya said, he said, it's no risk and all gain. It seems like risk, but he said, it's no risk and all gain. Although we must be prepared for any unfavorable circumstances, still we must not be discouraged. Krishna is most affectionate. His care towards us is most sincere. Krishna's affection towards us has no rival. Mahaprabhu is warning us in this verse, Ashlishya va padaratam panashtumam. You are searching after Krishna? Yes. Krishna is not a sweet ball in the market, which you can purchase and finish so easily. We are trying to attain the highest of the high, so we must be prepared for anything. These are the very eloquent and realized statements of Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami, Srila Prabhupada's beloved godbrother, who graced this planet and blessed the lives of so many people and so many disciples of Srila Prabhupada, including this most undeserving one. So his very nice comments he's giving on this verse. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his elaboration of Ashtayam Sadhana, he cites some verses from Bhagavatam to further deepen our understanding of this intensity of prema, because this is Premnam Bhajan. Ashtayam Bhajan is for the premi bhaktas. For the sadhakas, ajatarati sadhakas, who have not, of course, attain prema, they cannot really practice bhajan at this level. They can practice bhajan up to shastayam sadhana. 7 and 8 are for prema, up to bhava. But he includes them here in the book, and he says that in his introduction, that those that have bhava or those that don't have bhava can study all the chapters of the book, and all the verses that are given there as reference, and they will get different experiences and different results by that. But in both cases, the devotees who have bhava or the devotees that don't have bhava will increase their attachment and love and for Krishna and become encouraged and, let's say, stimulated towards reaching the goal of prema. So this is text 13 of chapter 8, Ashtamayam Sadhana. Bhajan Rahasyam. And he quotes a verse from Gita Govinda. And he gives a small introduction to each one of his verses. He says that when separated from Krishna during the Rasa-lila, the Brajagopis describe, they start amongst themselves, they were describing that those people, or let's say devotees, who explain or talk about Krishna's pastimes, they are the most charitable persons in the world. In other words, we hear about great let's say, humanitarians or welfare workers that give lots of money and charity to benefit the downtrodden. But from the gopis' viewpoint, the greatest charity is Krishna Katha, Hari Katha, because this is the this satisfies the soul. So then that verse which Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains here, he says, Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kama shapaham shavana mangalam shimarattatam bhuvigrilantite buridhajana. This is from Gopi Geet, 10th canto, chapter 31, verse 9. And he uses this verse and a couple others to explain about this adarshanam, Vipralamba Ras. And the translation of this verse, there's some different translations we can read to further understand. O Krishna, the gopis are saying, nectar-filled narrations about you are the life and soul of persons suffering and separation from you. And they are sung by great realized poets who are your devotees. Just by hearing the all auspicious narrations about you, all kinds of sins are removed, prarabdha, aparabdha, and all prosperity in the form of prema bhakti arises in the heart. Therefore, no one is equal to or more generous than he who chants and propagates narrations about you. So this is a darshanam. And one is, of course, separated from Krishna. Then he wants to hear topics about Krishna, because that will, when one's separated from Krishna, he feels he's about to die. The gopis would die when Krishna was immature, about to die, and then some gopi would speak Hari Katha, and that was like an elixir, like a rasayana to revive her. Because all these verses, there's about 24 verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has chosen these verses, and what he says, that late at night, when I was doing bhajan, about 1 or 2 o'clock at night, chanting Nam Bhajan, Maha Mantra, then I was, these verses were revealed to me by Srimati Radharani. As I meditated and explored each verse of Shikshastakam and tried to understand what it represents and what aspect of devotional development, Shraddha, Nishtha, Ruchi, etc., then Radharani said, yes, Prem Bhajan, Prem Nam Bhajan, these are the best verses. These are the best verses you can find anywhere to describe prem. And you can use these verses in your teachings of how to mix Nam Bhajan with these verses and this way enrich the devotee's attachment to the Nam and also his experience of Krishna and his devotional progress. And the another translation of 10.31.9. O Krishna, the nectar of your words, tavakatamritam, and the description of your activities are like nectar for those who are dying in this dry material world. Exalted personalities glorify such words, for they eradicate all sinful reactions. Anyone who hears them attains all good fortune, for they are pervaded with all auspiciousness. Those who recite Krishna's pastimes are the most munificent altruists. What makes topics related to Krishna like nectar or ambrosia, amritam? What is it? They bring to life, this is another translation, all those who have been made to suffer the great disease of material life, of repeated birth and death. And at the same time, in other words, these topics about Krishna have two functions. For a conditioned soul or a sadhaka who's in anartha, nivritti, they actually revive him. They bring him to life, jiv jago. They free him from the miseries of material life. They give him joy, they give him happiness. That's for the sadhaka. But for the siddha, or for the, what to speak of, the entourage of Krishna's, parishas, the gopis, we're separated from Krishna and we're suffering in this material world. We hear topics about Krishna, we feel some relief. We feel some panacea. And as we become purified, the topics about Krishna are like nectar. Any topic, what to speak of the holy name of Krishna. Now for the gopis, they're with Krishna, they live with Krishna in the spiritual world. But time to time, the pastime moves in such a way that they're also separated. So when they talk among themselves, in Katamritam, then they feel relief of separation. And they actually experience and create ecstasy. So whether one's suffering from the pain of separation as a gopi or suffering in the material world, the same medicine works for both. The medicine is Harikatamritam. Harikatamrit. That's why Prabhupada was always saying, read more and more. Because we chant, but chanting has to have some backing. In other words, when we read, we mix philosophy in our chanting, we mix rasa. When we read philosophical books, we mix bhakti gyan in our chanting. And it becomes a little bit more pleasurable, the taste of gyan, gyan ruchi. But we read rasa shastras on Krishna's pastimes, and Prabhupada gave us the best of all, the 10th canto. We read rasa shastras or lila granths, bhakti granths. Then what happens is bhakti ras and lila ras, we mix that in our chanting. So that's lila ruchi or lila ras. So then it becomes more relishable and more realizable and more tasty. And then explain this expanded translation just explains about the word for word meaning of different words of the verse. And this is by Vishnu. This is actually Vishnu's purport. He analyzed each verse. And Bhaktivinoda, as he's doing throughout the book, because this book is written in Bengali originally, and now it's in English. And all these verse citations that he gives to support this teaching of progressive bhajan, nam bhajan, and bhajan rahasyam, they're all Sanskrit verses which are not very familiar or understandable by the Bengali people. So then he himself, in a very creative way, he took the same verses, each of the Sanskrit verses, and he made them into Bengali, which the people could understand and read in their own language. He put it here, Tavakatamrita Krishna Jivanara Sukha Kavigan Gaya Jate Jaya Papa Dukha Shravana Mangala Sundarya Purita Srukita Janara Mukhe Nirantara Gita. Very beautiful Bengali, what little bit we can understand, or just the sound of it. Sundarya Purita Nirantara Gita Papa Dukha Jivanara Sukha Jivanara Sukha Jaya Papa Dukha Sondarya Purita Mukhe Nirantara Gita. That's nice. O Krishna, said Radharani, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities bring true happiness to my life. Poets sing them so that the misery arising from sin will dissipate. Why do we suffer? Why are we miserable, mentally miserable, or physically miserable, or physically suffer, or mentally suffer, or emotionally suffer? These are the three levels of our existence, psychic, emotional, and physical. Some people suffer psychically, not physically, and some emotionally in one way or the other. One side or the other, you'll get bashed. And some people are suffering on all sides, psychically, the mind, emotionally the heart, and physically the body. Unfortunate. And so the misery arises, and that's all that misery is caused by sin. Topics of Krishna are so auspicious for the ears, they are filled with beauty. Very interesting. Sondarya Purita. Shravana Mangala Sondarya Purita. This is his idea. Because not only does he give the Bengali translation of the Sanskrit verse from the Puranas or from some Rasik Granth, but he also gives a little purport in his Bengali, his own realization that the topics of Krishna are ambrosia, they are nectar, they are amrit, but not only that, they're beautiful. It's liquid beauty. And we have this term liquid beauty, some play. But this is Shabda beauty, beautiful sound. And that's understandable. We have that framework. We can hear beautiful sounds and discordant or cacophonous or ugly sounds. Like the crow comes and sings. People don't like very much. But when the minor bird comes, the koel or cuckoo or the toto or parrot, that's a very soothing, attractive sound. We can say, oh, what beautiful sound or beautiful song. The topics of Krishna, they're auspicious for the ears. Shravana Mangala, hearing, it's auspicious hearing. And not only that, it's Sondarya Purita, full of beauty. Because the topics about Krishna are about the most beautiful person, Shyam Sundar. Shyam Sundar Gata. Beautiful topics about the most beautiful person. And these topics are always present on the lips of pious devotees. There's a commentary in this one edition here on this verse. In other words, these are classes in love. What is love? What is Gopi Bhav? What is Gopi Prem? This is Prem Sambhog. This chapter is called Prem Sambhog. The ecstatic love and joy that the lovers attain in meeting, and also when they're separate, they're meeting and they also experience separation in meeting, which is inconceivable. At the time of Rath Yatra, Gaurasundar was in the mood of Radharani. He became tired and he laid down beneath a tree to take rest in Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. At that time, one king came, the king of Puri, Prataparudra. But he disguised himself as a very insignificant Vaishnava so as not to be detected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because being a strict sannyasi, he had a niyam of not meeting with pounds, shilling, pence personalities, kings and whatnot. And because such personalities are contaminated by so much Purusha Bhav, we become contaminated or purified by association. If we associate with pure souls, then the purity of their heart radiates into our heart. If we associate with contaminated souls, then the filth and dirt of their hearts radiates into our hearts. We pick up things by contact. The heart is like a sticky substance. If you have some tape, you have some sticky tape, we say scotch tape, I don't know what they have. One side is smooth and one side is sticky. So if you put it like that, and then you throw some dust in the air, throw some dust particles, so much dust will stick on the, will get fixed on the sticky surface of the tape. And very hard to get off. Very hard. The surface of our heart is like sticky tape. And when we associate dusanga, it's called dusanga, we have bad association, all the dust particles of their lust stick on our heart. Dust particles of our, it's a very interesting phenomenon, and dust particles of their greed or envy. That's why it's the most curious statement when it says in the Shastras, it says, a man should not associate with woman, or with a man attached to woman. You remember that? Isn't that interesting? Rupa Goswami warns this in Upadeshamrita. And the opposite would be true for a woman. A woman should not associate with a man or a woman attached to men. The obvious man-woman combination, it can be a little unfavorable for spiritual life, obviously, become distracted from Krishna and involved with bhoga and sense gratification. But the curious part is how it's deleterious or unfavorable or dangerous to associate, I'm a man, and to associate with a man who's attached to a woman. Because his attachment to women, that's his problem. or his joy or whatever. It's not mine. So what does it have to do with me? You have 10 girlfriends, and I'm just moving here and there with you or speaking with you. How does that affect me that you have 10 girlfriends, if it's just you and I? Well, exactly what I'm saying. Because wherever a man goes, his heart goes with him. I think everyone will agree on that. And so what's in your heart, the contents of your heart is going wherever you go. So if I'm with this lusty man who has 10 girlfriends, then obviously there's lots of lust radiating from his heart. Just like you have a cell phone, it's turned on, it's radiating microwaves, is it not? And receiving microwaves, and messages come, you're sleeping and beep beep, this, that, the other thing. And you get calls. You turn it off. I think I've read some study, it's even radiating when it's turned off. It's not actually healthy to even have it in your room. But people have it next to their pillow. Not off, but on. So they're getting a good, they're slowly cooking their brains every night. Then they can serve them out to Yamaraj after a few years, when there's no more brain left. So this if a little piece of thing like this will emanate some waves, what about a human being who has 500 billion electrical cells? There's 500 billion cells in the human brain, just the brain, and they're all electrically charged. That's a lot of electricity coming out of the brain, 500 billion brain cells. I'm not talking about bone cells and red cells and blood cells and all these things. So when we're with, that's why we're born. Be careful. Don't associate. A man should not associate. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya did not want to mix with, he didn't want to meet King Prataparudra because he had 100 wives. He's a king 500 years ago. And obviously he must be maybe a little lusty, although it turns out he's a great devotee of the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya didn't know that in the beginning. And he's setting an example. So the king disguised himself. So even Lord Chaitanya is so careful not to associate with a man who's attached to women, and the warning is there by his followers, don't associate with women or a man. Here's an example. Don't associate with a man attached to women. That's King Prataparudra. Because all that vibration, that lusty vibration from his heart, it emanates like these dust particles which will get stuck on our heart. And very hard to get rid of. It's called sanskaras, impressions, deep impressions in our chitta. Chitta means mind, chitta means heart, chitta means chitta, which is the thinnest layer of material existence separating the hankar from the atma, chitta. So he disguised himself, he entered the garden, and he gently massaged Mahabhu's feet while he was resting, and he started singing the Gopi Gita. Because he was told by the devotees 500 years ago, and the same thing is also told today by the guardians of devotion that are advising various devotees how to carry on their sadhana bhajan. They did tell, and they do tell, if you want to attract the Lord, Krishna, then you should chant every day Gopi Gita. So there are many sadhakas, not only Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but Nimbarkis and other Vaishnavas, who are Krishna bhaktas, and they want to attract the attention of Krishna. They want Krishna's service and darshan. So they very diligently and devotedly chant every day the Gopi Gita. And it's about 20 verses, 19 or so verses. And after some time, of course, one can memorize it, but it should be chanted heartfully and consciously and with a tadatmika mood. Understanding the mood of the gopis, or let's say we can't really understand, but trying to pray to them that some of their feelings and mercy will come into our hearts. It's told by the acharyas that the gopis didn't chant these verses on the banks of the Yamuna like we chant sometimes, Teto Dharpana Marjana. In our temples, we chant in a very rote and mechanical way, the Shikshastakam. But it says that gopis were crying these verses because they were in separation from Krishna. When you're separated from someone you love, you cry. If you have any real love, can't but cry. If you don't cry when you're separated from your beloved, you don't love your beloved. Or at least not very much. Oh, I'm a man, I don't cry. Crying's for babies. Crying's for women, not me. Okay, you don't cry, and that's to the extent that you don't cry, that's how little you love. Tavakatam ritam tattajivanam. They're crying. Whatever you can understand means to cry. It's actually not a meaning, it's a feeling. Crying is not a meaning, it's a feeling. You don't control it. You control your meanings. You control your meanings and control your statements, but you can't control your sentiments. Your sentiments control you. If they're real sentiments, they're real feelings. They operate under a higher order, which is disorder. Love knows no bounds. Calculated responses, democratic behavior, and diplomatic dealings are all within the realm of calculation and mental manipulation, application of the mind and intelligence over one's circumstances, situations, and body. But sentiments, that's the kingdom of the heart. And feelings, the kingdom of the heart. And you can't have any jurisdiction there with your rational mind. Logic and ration don't have any jurisdiction in the kingdom of the heart. That's what Krishna's an autocrat, and Krishna's in the heart. Where does God live? We say God lives in the heart. So the heart is the realm of autocracy. The heart is the realm of autocracy where Krishna rules and sentiments. As one advances in Krishna bhakti, he begins to understand what we're saying. In the previous verse, before this verse in Gopi Gita, it begins with the words Madhuraya Gira. And when the gopis were suffering in separation from Krishna, they prayed for the nectar of his sweet lips to cure their disease. And because we're talking about Madhurya Bhav, the exchanges between conjugal lovers, and one of the most tender and intimate expressions of love between conjugal lovers, of course, is kissing and embracing. So in separation, then what one wants more than anything is to embrace the beloved, and then, let's say, that kind of confirms, an embrace confirms the love, and a tender kiss seals the love. I would like to say that. A warm embrace confirms the love, and a tender kiss seals the love. Actually, I heard there's one verse in 11th canto of Bhagavatam where Krishna is speaking a little bit of Gita. He said, if one is too attached to material life, he cannot become a devotee of Krishna. And if one is too detached from material life, he cannot become a devotee of Krishna. If he's too austere and too self-controlled and too much of a yogi. Now this seems like a paradox. How to explain this? If one is too attached to material life, he's gone. He's addicted. He's an addict. He can't give it up. He can't live without it. And he can't conceive of anything more than gross, carnal, physical, material pleasures. Live for today and eat, drink, and be merry. If it feels good, do it. He's too attached. He can't be preached to. He can't conceive of another notion or another path. No chance for him to take up bhakti. Because by being so attached to material enjoyment, his heart has become as hard as a rock. because sense gratification makes you so selfish and so egoistic and so aggressive that your heart becomes like granite, rock. So you cannot develop the devotional sentiments of sharanagati, surrender and seva. Surrender to another and serve another. No way. I don't serve anybody. You see? I'm the boss man. Now, the other person Krishna is speaking about, the Uddhava, is a yogi. He's so detached from sense gratification and so much addicted to relishing the peace and solitude and introspection of Sattva-gun that he doesn't want anybody. He doesn't want anybody. He doesn't need anybody. He is even a bigger enjoyer than a sense enjoyer. At least a sense enjoyer, a gross karmi sense enjoyer, to get his sense enjoyment, he has to interact with another person and exploit them. And in the course of interacting with them, he has to kind of please them to get them to do what he wants to get from them, which means in a little bit of way he has to serve them. But still, his heart becomes rock hard. But the yogi, the totally detached, austere vairagi, his heart becomes as hard as a diamond. This is the analogy. The materialist karmi, his heart is as hard as a granite rock. Very hard. A blockhead. Hard nose, remembering, hard nut to crack. But the yogi, his heart is like a diamond because he can't even let anybody inside there, even to exploit. He's like, hey, Brahman realizer, me. Tattvamasi. He's too hard-hearted. There's no room for sentiments. There's no room for feelings. There's no room for love. So bhakti is all about sentiments, transcendental, alokik bhav, spiritual feelings. So the average guy, the middle-of-the-road guy or girl, they're good candidates for Krishna consciousness. They're a little bit sense enjoyers, not too much, and a little detached, not too much. They're basically good people, and then they can actually have some feelings for Krishna. Prabhupada used to say, don't give up anything, just add Krishna. Don't give up your tendency to possess, and don't give up your tendency to get attached, and don't give up your tendency to love and serve, but become attached to Krishna and possess Krishna, mamata bhava for Krishna, and serve Krishna and love Krishna. We already have the basic framework for bhakti. If we're a good, normal human being, we love and we get attached and we get possessive and we get protective and we have a little touch of service once in a while. We bring all that into Krishna consciousness. Well, I'm protective of my Krishna and my deities, and then it works well. Works very well. Yes? Yes. So the gopis reply, how do they say? In reply, when the gopis ask for the nectar of Krishna's lips, oh, gopis, I cannot understand how you can remain alive in such a diseased condition. And the gopis say, Shyam Sundar, it's true, we're suffering in separation from you, and we're about to die. In the previous verse, we begged you for the nectar of your lips. Directly, sakshat, chumbita, kiss me, so I can directly relish and savor the sweet, intoxicating nectar of your phala, Krishna Adhara Amrita, the nectar of your lips, lip to lip, hand to hand, nail to nail, mouth to mouth, teeth to teeth, as is described in Nanti Lila when they were having Jal Keli, they were fighting. First they were fighting hand to hand, and then chest to chest, then nail to nail, and lip to lip, and teeth to teeth. So they started splashing water from a distance, and the distance got shorter and shorter, and the pastime became more and more intimate. So Krishna said, okay, but look, you're separated. And I'm not giving you my Adhara Amrita. You're not getting the nectar of my lips. So You say you're dying without the nectar of my lips. You're not getting it. So how are you remaining alive? Because I'm away from you. You're on the banks of the Yamuna. You're crying for me. I'm in the forest. I'm just nearby you. I'm just nearby you, hiding in a keli kunj, and I'm looking out through the foliage. That is actually the term is interstitches. The little space is called interstitches, of the, like this. I'm looking, I'm listening attentively and intently. What are they saying? Oh, look at their faces. But the gopis, you don't perceive. You don't know I'm there. You can't feel my presence. You can't see me. You can't hear my heart beating and racing, which it is. Doom, 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 doom. So much utkantita I have in my heart for you. So much yearning and craving to meet you again. But I'm testing your love and announcing and proclaiming your love to the entire world by this passage in the Bhagavatam, Gopi Geet, and the Rasalila, Viraha and Sambhog, separation, union. I'm there. So Vishnath is anticipating that this dialogue could go on. So Krishna is asking, how are you living? How are you living without my Adhara Amrita? The gopis reply, Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. It is okay, we're not directly kissing you, but we're hearing the topics about you. And topics about you, Krishna Katha is also full of the Adhara Amrita of your lips. Because it's passing from the lips of the devotees, and the devotees are tasting your love. And when the devotees speak about you, then that amrita of you comes through their lips and into our ears, and that way we get kissed. The katha kisses us. The Hari Katha kisses our ears and kisses our heart, and we feel your embrace in our heart just by hearing the topics about you from the Madhurya Mayi Bhaktas, from the Premi Bhaktas. Shyam Sundar, O Shyamaju, we are alive only due to the nectar of narrations about you, which do not allow us to die. If you ask us what this nectar is like, oh, you mean, oh, gopis, you hear topics about me, Harikatha, and that keeps you alive? How does it work? How do talks about me keep you alive? We'll explain that topics about you can even bring peace to one who has a disease of threefold miseries, because that's mentioned in the verse. First they start the verse by saying, Tavakatam, his topics about you are nectar. Okay, that's enough for the gopis. They only need nectar. They're not suffering from the threefold disease and all these things. That's for the conditioned souls. The second half of the verse, they're saying, it does that wonder for us. We just hear your katam, we feel like we're kissing you directly, chumbita. But not only do we, your topics about you have that effect on us, but if anybody else, even someone suffering in conditional life, a Bhadajiva, if he hears Harikata, then this Tapatraya, Adiatmika Klesh, Adibodhika, Adidhaivika Klesh, the miseries of material existence, they will recede from his life, and they will diminish in his mind and heart, and he'll get relief. I get some satisfaction and peace. Ah, Krishna book. Acha. I work all day. I have so many woes and cares during the day. And finally, I eat something in the evening, and everything is done, packed up, squared everything away. And I sit down for 15 minutes, and I open Krishna book. And I read Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Acha. Killing this demon, or, you know, the flute and this and that. This is so sweet, very nice. Then I close this book and say, oh Krishna, oh Guru, then. So I end my night with nectar. I drink one cup of nectar. Oh, before I take rest, I drink a cup of hot milk. So what? Big deal. Yogis do that. Any sattvic Brahmin does that. Right tonight in India, there's 600 million people who will drink hot milk and take rest. 600 million people will take a cup of hot milk and go to sleep. That means they're bara bhaktas. How many will take a cup of hot nectar? Take a cup of hot Krishna book and drink that. We were once traveling with a Gujarati Brahmin in Rajasthan. And we stayed at some guest house. He was a contractor. We were buying some marble, or trying to buy some marble. So we got to some guest house about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere, out in Rajasthan. I don't know where it was, somewhere where marble grows or they collect it or whatever. It's just all marble in every direction for 100 miles. And this Brahmin, you know, it was evening time. It was like 10 o'clock. It was time to take rest. And I just carried one little book, Krishna book, with me. I said, oh, I have to get my hot milk. I said, all right, sit down. Let's just read the Krishna book. No. Every night I drink hot milk before I sleep. I can't sleep. I have to have hot milk. I said, come on, it's 10 o'clock at night. We have to drive back to Delhi tomorrow. You need to get rest because we were driving his car. And he said, no, I have to. And he goes out, I don't know where he went, in the middle of the desert. There's not too many cows out there. And he was out for about an hour here and there, and I came back, and I was already asleep by the time I got back. I read a little Krishna book, and forget about the hot milk. I read a Krishna book. And the next day, I said, you got your hot milk? He says, yes, I found a Gujarati, because he's Gujarati. He found some Gujarati sale guy in this there, and he went home. He went to his house. Because Indians are like that. He went to his house. He actually met the guy. He said, I need some hot milk. So the guy took him home and gave him some hot milk. So, I mean, Krishna fulfilled his desires. He's, you know, he's a devotee, but that's over the top. So the topics are like this. They're nectar for everybody. The nectar descriptions of you even calms the forest fire of miseries. Then Krishna says, okay, well, forget about that. I'm not going to give you the nectar of my lips. I'm not going to appear before you. But, you know, there's something called Swargamrit. I will go there, and I'll bring you some nectar from heaven. You can take that. Then the gopis say, listen, Shyamju. If you bring us somaras, that will make the body very healthy. But when we become healthy and strong, that will increase our lust. Like when a man has a nice big meal, big dinner at night, then what happens? He feels lusty. Then that's the next chapter. Indra and other demigods of Swarga, they have so much lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. And they're always drinking somaras. Then Krishna says, all right, if you don't want Swargamrit, how about Mukti Amrit? I'll give you... the nectar of liberation. The gopis would say, listen, even if you give us liberation, Premi Bhaktas, they don't want that because this is unfavorable for loving and serving you. Where are the loving exchanges in liberation? Dhruva, Prahlad, Brahma, Narad, Chatushan, four Kumaras, Vyashuk and other great devotees and poets, they glorify Harikatha. For those who aspire even after liberation, such katha immediately is the immediately effective medicine to cure the disease of material existence. Great personalities who are liberated, living in this world, even they enjoy hearing nectaring topics about you. So what's the point? They're saying, you want to give us liberation of Vaikuntha or make us Mukta Jeeves and be satisfied with that nectar. But listen, even people that are Mukta Jeeves, even the people that are liberated, they want to hear katha about you. So what's wrong with if we want to? So forget the liberation, just give us straight. Give us the nectar of your lips and reappear before us. So this is discussion on verse 13. And tomorrow, this is about a darshanam. The gopis are separated from Krishna. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on a darshanam. And their hearts are in agony. So they're crying in agony, spiritual agony, which is actually joyful. Because everything the gopis do pleases Krishna. So all of the gopis are crying the verses of Gopi Geet, 10th canto, chapter 31. And it's called Marmahatam. A darshanam, Marmahatam. They're not seeing Krishna. They're not enjoying sambhog with Krishna, at least knowingly or directly. They are having sambhog because Krishna's right there. He's only a meter away behind the bushes listening. He's there, he's with them, he's seeing them, but they don't know it. So it is a type of sambhog, but it's union and separation. And they're agonized. Oh, Krishna, where are you? I know you can't be happy without us. We're unhappy because we know that we give you the greatest happiness. So if you're without us, you must be suffering. But even though they're crying out, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam, they're crying in what is called Marmahatam, broken-hearted, an agonized heart. They're actually feeling some delight from that. They're feeling some joy from that because the joy that brings Krishna is being reflected into their hearts. And this is the nature of the exchanges of love. Krishna gives his prema to the devotees. Then the devotees with that prema, then they offer that prema back. And it's an exchange of Krishna's prema. And both the giver of prema and receiver of prema enjoy the blissful exchange of rasa and joy and happiness in the loving exchanges. Krishna is devotee.